Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thank you.
contemporary Native American music from the band Brulé, Bru Lakota, Paul LaRoche. That particular song was entitled Sunrise Offering from his Sound of America record CD, Brulé, One Nation. We featured Brulé because Paul LaRoche was a featured artist at a wonderful event entitled World Peace, Inner Peace, Healing Self, the Earth, and Others, which is the subject of today's broadcast. Today's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program is part 4 of our very special series, Sharing Spirit, from this 3-day International Peace Conference that was convened in the Netherlands from May 18th through May 20th, 1999. I am very proud to say that Radio for Peace International was a co-sponsor and major participant of this forum. One of my fellow RFPI International Board of Advisors, Menick van der Loopt, served as conference host and organizer. RFPI was well represented. Our station's founders, Dr. Richard Schneider and family, as well as a number of my personal friends and fellow Board of Advisor members, also participated in this very special gathering. My fellow Native American brother and board member, Mr. Mala Spotted Eagle, Western Shoshone, shared a traditional early morning ceremony with conference participants each day. This is why I played the song Sunrise Offering, to honor Mother Earth and to share with our worldwide listeners this cultural life way of expressing gratitude to the Creator and all of our relations. Well, as we say in my native language, Kinon Wantakwasin. This wonderful international gathering encompassed 3 purposes. 1, to celebrate the centennial of the first ever official International Peace Conference that occurred at The Hague in May 1899. 2, to explore the many pathways to cultures of peace for the 21st century. 3, to highlight the lives of all who in some way are builders of peace. World Peace, Inner Peace, Healing Self, the Earth, and Others Conference was a global citizens forum. It was convened at the time of the formal Hague Peace Conference, which allowed World Peace, Inner Peace delegates to present their concerns to the official International Peace Summit. I was invited to attend this historic World Peace, Inner Peace gathering, but since most of our FPI staff were needed in Holland so that we could broadcast the conference through our telecommunications connection, I volunteered to stay at the station in Costa Rica along with Program Coordinator Joe Bernard, in order to keep RFPI on the air and live broadcast this peace conference. Our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices 4-part special series is from our recording of the broadcast. We are honored to share these wisdoms. In today's program, we present 2 plenary speakers, Ellie Pradervand and Joan Russo. The title of the session, The Great Calling for Building Cultures of Peace and Justice, exemplifies the importance of this conference and the work we all must do as peacemakers for Mother Earth. We here at Yat Kitishi Native Center hope that the visions expressed at this World Peace, Inner Peace Conference not only guide your spirit, but gives you strength to be an Earth warrior in this critical time of our planet's history. The choices we make today will determine the future of our life on Mother Earth. We must develop an Earth ethic that promotes cultures of peace, that protects and honors the Earth. This is the vision and mission of Yat Kitishi Native Center, shared by Radio for Peace International. We hope all of our worldwide listeners will join in this planetary movement. Before we listen to our 2 conference presenters, I want to read a passage from a wonderful publication entitled The Peace Book by Louise Diamond. The Peace Book is subtitled 100 Simple Ways to Create a More Peaceful World. This beautiful book is available from the Peace Company in Bristol, Vermont. Their website is www.thepeacecompany.com. Their toll-free telephone number is 888-455-5355. You can also order this book by writing to The Peace Company, 54 Maple Street, Bristol, Vermont, 05443. Once again, this beautiful book available from the Peace Company in Bristol, Vermont, is through their website at www.thepeacecompany.com. Their toll-free telephone number is 888-455-5355. Or you can order the book by writing to the Peace Company, 54 Maple Street, Bristol, Vermont, 05443. The section that we read in part 2 and part 3 of our program was entitled, What is Peace? What I want to share with our listeners now is the section entitled, Choosing a Better Way and the Four Principles of Peace. And I shall read this exactly as it's written in the book, and I quote, Choosing a Better Way. Choosing a better way means changing our minds about peace. Because our actions naturally flow from our thoughts, our attitudes, and assumptions, we have to change our minds if we want a different result. But first we have to ask, quote, a better way than what, unquote. Right now, we live in a society where many of the norms, assumptions, about what is natural and acceptable are anti-peace. That is, they promote distrust, disrespect, conflict, suffering, and the degradation of our human and natural resources. These norms run so deep in our institutions, in our daily lives, that we may not even be aware of them. We just accept them as the way things are. For instance, we accept that adversarial relationships, us against them, are normal. That competition, I win, you lose, is universally good. We polarize our differences as right versus wrong or good versus evil. We think we have the right to enforce our wishes on others and live as if some of us are more entitled or privileged than others. We accept violence as a way of life and entertainment. Some of the worst ills that plague our society can be traced directly to these assumptions. The Four Principles of Peace. A rapidly growing number of people are working to make a different set of assumptions a shared reality. A true culture of peace is based on four basic principles that promote trust, harmony, and healthy human relationship. These are, 1, community. We come in unity first with ourselves, then with others, acknowledging we are all in this together, interconnected, and interdependent. Therefore, what hurts one hurts all. Mutual respect, appreciation of differences, and honoring the equal dignity and worth of all are expressions of this awareness, as is a commitment to social and economic justice. 2, cooperation. By finding common ground and working together, we can all win. If we think of ourselves as partners and share our resources fully, we can find creative solutions to our joint problems and build bridges across whatever seems to divide us. 3, nonviolence. Respect for life and all individuals leads to a commitment not to harm others. We choose not to use force and coercion as a basis for a relationship, but rather to relate to the goodness in each and every person. By keeping an open heart, we develop empathy and compassion. With dialogue and creative problem solving, and with a moral conviction to avoid the suffering caused by violence, we can address the toughest issues of our individual and collective lives. And 4, witness. Peace is a living presence within all of us. Like justice, freedom, beauty, or harmony, peace is an ideal with a capital letter. It is encoded in us as natural wisdom, a spiritual birthright. Our job is to witness this truth by being the peace we seek, helping each other remember to live the ideal of peace in a practical ways every day. We do this by relating to the potential for peace in every situation and to the seed of peace in every person. If these became the operating principles of our society, we might expect to see a vast reduction in crime and warfare. Our political discourse would be far more civil and more productive. Our historical wounds could mend, and our children would grow in safety. Our culture in honoring peace would be life-affirming in every way, unquote. And that was an excerpt from The Peace Book 108 Simple Ways to Create a More Peaceful World by Louise Diamond of the Peace Company. Once again, I want to remind our worldwide listeners, you are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yaak Kedishi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, and now please listen to our two very special plenary speakers.
I bring you greetings from Switzerland, from the city of Geneva, which had been designated by UNESCO as one of the Messenger for Peace cities. You may be familiar that there are 71 cities around the world that have been declared cities for peace. And the city I live and work in is the president of this community of cities for peace. So I'm honored to speak to you and bring the peace and greetings from Geneva. Some of you might know that Geneva is also the heart chakra of the planet, and that this is the reason why from that city spring so many humanitarian initiatives. So many organizations have based their headquarters there. There is an energy, a spirit of compassion that goes out from Geneva into the world. It is the seat where the League of Nations was founded, and which later became the United Nations. It is the seat for the International Red Cross Society. It is the seat of many, many organizations we interact almost daily who are represented to the United Nations. So it's a special place. I'm very honored to have the privilege to live there and invite you to come and visit us. Before we start this kaleidoscope of presentations of diverse peacemakers, I wish to express my gratitude to one of the greatest peacemakers I have met. It's Elinore Dettinger, who over the years has empowered not only me personally, but also my colleagues and friends with her gracious support and with her great vision. And she has made it possible so we could attend the Hague Appeal for Peace Conference and also to be here. I also wish to thank Manik and her great team for organizing this event, which was not always easy, which we know from experience, and for the privilege to share our global campaigns with you today. The Women's World Summit Foundation, which I founded in 1991, is an international coalition for a better future for mostly women and children. It is non-profit and international with consultative status at the United Nations, ECOSOC. I founded this organization to mobilize the women and women's movements around the world to demand accountability from our world leaders and political leaders to deliver what they have promised to humanity over decades of treaties, conventions, and platforms for actions. We will present to you a new program we have just recently launched in the Foundation and which belongs to all of you who are peacemakers or going to be peacemakers. It is the emergence of a serving nation, a nation of people without any territory. While retaining your own nationality, you can be united in a new nation, a virtual nation of people who serve, so the world works for all. And we shall present that together with my colleague after the tea. We, the people of the world, must claim our sacred right to peace and justice for all. This morning's session has as its purpose to introduce to you peacemakers who already responded to the great call of building a culture of peace. They are already a living solution. Peacemakers who walk their talk and who invite you to join their alliance of peace. Each one of them will individually share with you their unique way of chiseling the facets of the diamond, which is our world. Their deep creative power within themselves is used as a power for transformation of a culture of war to a culture of peace. What are the aims of such a culture of peace, I was asked just recently, and I put down 10 points to familiarize you with these aims. First of all, a culture of peace must have within its work the transformation of values, attitudes, and behaviors to those which promote peace and nonviolence. A second ingredient would be to empower people of all levels with skills of dialogue, mediation, and peace building. To empower democratic participation of people in political decision making. Equal representation of women in decision making at all levels. The political and economic transparency and accountability of our governing structures. The elimination of poverty and sharp inequalities between nations. The promotion of sustainable human development for all. The preservation of the planet and the species. And the advancement of the understanding of tolerance, respect for the diversity and among all people. These are some of the aims why we want to build a culture of peace. Now, education is seen to be the major modality to promote such a culture of peace. And someone once said, there are three ways to educate. By example. Our education must challenge the institution of war. It must challenge the institution of racism. It must challenge globalization. It must challenge sexism. They are all embedded in a culture of war. So, my dear fellow peacemakers, I have good news for you today. We attended the Hague Appeal for Peace conference, which showed us that the culture of peace has begun. It is on its way. I heard and met numerous people and peacemakers who shared their ideas with us, and their initiatives filled me with great hope. So I wrote down some of them to share with you that hope. I met beautiful people who organized peace runs, others who organized peace walks, a group of youth who have a peace boat, women who have the voice for peace, groups for a peace parliament, for peace tents, for peace links, for peace seats, for peace seals, and for peace cookies, for peace blessings and celebrations. And yesterday we heard and learned about the Costa Rican children who make chimes for peace, peace chimes. And I could go on and on forever. But at this conference with 9,000 people present, there was just an enormous outflow of new initiatives. And I think the world needs to hear about that, because we are already structuring this culture of peace. We also heard there about the launch of Diverse Women for Diversity. It is a group of women who are celebrating their diversity and include all non-violent systems. Today, in Tanzania, a world conference for African peacemakers has started, and my good friend Gertrude Mongella, Under Secretary General of the United Nations, who was the Secretary General of the Beijing Women's Conference in 1995, and who cannot be with us because she's the chair of this Conference of African Women for Peace Building. And we will send them all these initiatives so they will include it and transmit it out into Africa. We also participated at the Hague Appeal of Peace to say very strongly and very loudly, no to war, no to violence. Nations have failed us bitterly, and we, the people, have to act urgently. We must abolish the instruments of war and mass destruction. We can no longer justify violence. It is time to design realistic methods to tackle our common problems and put the United Nations ideals, treaties, and platforms for action into practice. It's time to have a powerful university for peace where our children can excel in world peace studies and service and no longer be honored for world military service and careers. It's time we embrace the structures for peace, invest them with moral power and new values for the future. These new values we heard yesterday from Hazel Henderson's video are based on a win-win model to do away with win-lose concepts which so divide us and which are still very predominant in our societies. It's time to create a World Bank for peace initiatives and ministries for peacekeeping, not only war planning. Why? Because it is madness to poison the earth, the air, and waters. It is madness to pile up arms upon arms. It is sheer madness to make the poor even poorer, and madness to destroy the trees and turn the green land into deserts. It is madness to deny food, work, dignity, and respect to our fellow men. We no longer accept that our world has to be one of suffering and strife, for we have seen the beauty, the unity, and peace that will transform our global home. I am therefore more than honored and humbled to present to you our panelists, peacemakers in action, who will share with you, albeit very briefly, their respective pathways to peace, their facets of the diamond, and you can connect with them after this session if you're attracted to participate with their work. Before I pass over the floor to our first speaker, I have only one simple message to you, that is, you don't have to be perfect to become a peacemaker. Roll up your sleeves and go to work. Your spiritual capital will sustain you. Thank you.
You are listening to Yat Kedichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
We're going to continue with our program for a special series of World Peace, Inner Peace Conference. And this session, The Great Calling for Building Cultures of Peace and Justice. And we first heard Miss Ellie Prigervand, and Ellie is the director and founder of the Women's World Summit Foundation. Next, we shall listen to Joan Russo, a peace advocate from Canada.
Introduce to you Dr. Joan Russo, the coordinator of the Global Compliance Research Project and author of the Charter of Obligations, 350 pages of obligations incurred during international treaties, conventions and covenants, and commitments made through conferences, action plans. She has drafted the Citizens Public Trust Treaty, which has been circulated internationally and which is available for you to sign so we can take it to the Peace Palace tomorrow with a request to create out of Holland. Maybe you would like to share that. Yes, I leave it to the presenter to share this with you. Okay, here's Joan Russo.
We have heard from Jane Goodall that the global situation is urgent. We have heard from Ellie Prevent that there are principles to assist us in moving from a culture of war to a culture of peace. The United Nations also recognized in 1992 and acknowledged the urgency of the situation. And I quote, "Humanity stands at a defining moment in history. We are confronted with a perpetuation of disparities between and within nations, and a worsening of poverty, hunger, ill health, and illiteracy, and a continuing deterioration of the ecosystem on which we depend for our well-being. We have to move away from, as Jane Goodall described it so aptly, from just me-ism. And we have to call upon the international community to act. In the Charter of the United Nations, the first three words were, we the peoples. We the peoples have to take back the institutions within the United Nations. For too long, governments have been agreeing in New York, in Geneva, at various conferences around the world, to undertake the necessary measures to bring about change. The rhetoric is there on paper. We must translate this rhetoric into action. And I'd just like to go through just a quick survey of some of the rhetoric that governments have been engaging in over the years. In 1945, in the Charter, every member state undertook to prevent the scourge of war. We as civil society have to say, you must prevent the scourge of war. We've got to have international institutions in place that will not allow wars to continue. We have wars raging throughout the world. It's not just in Yugoslavia. As was brought out at the peace meeting in The Hague recently, there are 26 wars waging throughout Africa. In 1966, the member states negotiated two very, very important human rights covenants, the International Covenant for Civil and Political Rights and the International Covenant for Social and Economic and Cultural Rights. In the latter, member states that signed and ratified this agreement undertook to ensure the right to food, the right to shelter, the right to social security, the right to water. This was in 1966. We are still waiting. In 1972, in Stockholm, every member state of the United Nations undertook to prevent the production of weapons of mass destruction. We are still waiting for implementation of this commitment. In 1975, there was a General Assembly resolution to ensure that science and the use of scientific technology would be for in peace and for the benefit of humanity. We are still waiting. In 1982, every member state, except the United States, agreed under the World Charter of Nature to respect the inherent worth of nature beyond human purpose. Throughout the presentations at this conference, we have been calling for this. Oh, in 1985, there was a General Assembly resolution affirming the right of all peoples to peace. We have had declarations ensuring the rights of indigenous peoples around the world. At Rio, we undertook two very, very important principles among many others. One was the precautionary principle, that where there's a threat to the environment or human health, we don't have to wait until there's scientific certainty for us to prevent that threat. The second principle was states should prevent the transfer to other states of substances or activities that are harmful to human health or to the environment. But what is being done around the world? We are transferring atomic, chemical, hazardous waste around the world, usually dumping it most disadvantaged countries in the world. Recently, I have been referring to the guaranteeing of human rights, the protecting the environment, the respecting the rule of law, the preserving and protecting the environment, and ensuring social justice as promoting the public trust. And this is what this treaty is about. It's promoting the public trust with instructions to the governments of the world, first of all, to sign and ratify existing treaties and conventions that they've not yet signed and ratified. And after they've signed and ratified, to enact the necessary legislation to ensure compliance. And I've been calling for, in this treaty that's been circulating, for the establishment of an international court of compliance, where citizens can take evidence of state and corporate non-compliance. I was recently at the International Court of Justice, where the NATO states were all saying, you do not have jurisdiction. So the states won't recognize often the jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice. This has to change. Here we are in The Hague, 100 years after the formation of the first court, the first tribunal that was established to ensure that there were measures around the world to protect the international community from war. Here we are in Holland, where there is this basis for the rule of international law. We have got to make this effective. We've got to call upon the international community to ensure that these promises that they have made over the years are enacted. And if we have an international court of compliance where citizens can take evidence of state and corporate compliance, this might begin to move us in the right direction. With this treaty, there are a number of measures that are bold. And this is the time to be bold. 1999 is not only the 100th anniversary of the first effort internationally to bring about peace at an international level. It's also the culmination of the decade devoted to the furtherance of international law. We've got to be bold by not asking for, as some have, for a 5% reduction of the military budget 1 year and then 5%. We've got to ask for at least a 50% reduction of the military budget. And to support that, what I try to do in everything that's presented in this treaty is to support it with previous promises. In 1981, there was a General Assembly resolution that stated states must reduce the military budget and transfer into social programs, particularly in the majority countries. Of course, that term wasn't used at that time. We must also make corporations accountable. And if they're not protecting human rights, ensuring preservation in the environment, then we have to revoke their charters and licenses to act. There is a very strong movement in the States organized by a number of lawyers to call for the revocation of charters of transnationals if they destroy the environment, violate human rights, have child labor. This is the sort of action we have to call bold actions. We have to ensure that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 is extended to include the rights of all groups that are affected. In that original document, it included the term other status. Now, this is really important because the drafters of the declaration wanted to ensure that any type of discrimination that emerged over the years would also be included. We also have to ensure that we forgive the debts to the majority countries in the world. This is extremely important. One of the reasons for war is that so many countries and peoples around the world are being suppressed. We've got to find a way, as I said earlier, of redirecting the funds from the military budget. So these are just some of the provisions. I don't want to take up any more time, but I urge you to sign this treaty, and it's going to be presented tomorrow at the Peace Palace, and hopefully we can make an impact and say we want bold measures. We want to call for compliance. We want you to walk the talk. Thank you.
Yeah. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Imagine there is a radio station working for a better world. Social justice and human rights. Independent broadcasting 24 hours a day. Radio for Peace International, Costa Rica. We are giving voice to the voiceless.
Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday
the song you just heard prior to our station identification was entitled Millennium, sung by the Northern Cree Drum at Snow Mountain Powwow, and is recorded on their Canyon Records CD, Northern Cree Here to Stay. We chose this honoring drum song to highlight that we are now all living in the new millennium. We are living at a very important time in Earth's history, the beginning years of the 21st century. As all of our worldwide listeners know, the 20th century was one of great strife and war between nations. The 20th century was a period of serious poverty, injustice for many peoples, and critical environmental problems, which continue now into the 21st century, the beginning of the new millennium. 5 years have gone by since this historic World Peace, Inner Peace, Healing Self, the Earth, and Others conference in the Netherlands, convened on the 100th anniversary of the first World Peace Conference in 1899. The wisdoms expressed at that gathering that Wolf Mountain Radio is honored to share in our series are needed now more than ever. We at Yat Kitishi Native Center ask, how many more years do we, citizens of the world, have to wait for true peace, justice, and caring of our planet? Well, dear friends, we are nearly out of time for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. We sincerely thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed this four-part series on the World Peace, Inner Peace Conference. We conclude our program with a very special honoring prayer, giving thanks, spoken by Mohawk peacemaker Chief Jake Swamp. Many of our Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices listeners know that Chief Swamp travels the globe, sharing traditional Haudenosaunee teachings of peace and protecting Mother Earth. I've had the honor to attend several of Chief Swamp's Tree of Peace ceremonies and consider him a gift from the Great Spirit to the Earth. Chief Swamp was one of the wisdom keepers who participated in our historic Radio for Peace International co-sponsored 1998 gathering belonging to Mother Earth Indigenous Wisdom and Healing Conference in Powwow. His presentation and my interview with Chief Swamp is one of many wonderful audio programs you can purchase through Radio for Peace International. The Belonging to Mother Earth Indigenous Wisdom and Healing Conference series is listed in our PI's catalog. For more information, please visit Radio for Peace International's website at www.rfpi.org and click on Catalog. In closing, I'm going to now read a statement from a third grade class concerning peace. We thank our brother Marla Spotted Eagle for sending us this elementary school statement. The children. We, the children of the world, are asking the adults to listen. We think that you need us to help you find peace in yourselves. If you start from the heart, peace can spread to other adults and it will get bigger. We ask you to forgive and be kind to one another. We are asking you to be respectful and to treat others the way you want to be treated. We want you to try a different way to solve problems. If everybody thought fighting was the only way, then the whole world would be at war. If you don't give peace to others, then they won't give it to you. This is a world we love, but we would love it more if all the wars and fighting stopped. We have hope to bring peace to the world. We want our loved ones safe. We want our families safe, no matter where they are. If we didn't fight, the grass would be greener, the water would be cleaner, and the animals would be healthier. The world would be the best place. We want you to stop cutting down trees and hurting living things. We are saying enough. We want the landmines, the nukes, and suicide bombing to stop. We want the judging people to stop and want to know people by who they are on the inside. We need to try and understand each other and to learn about each other. We want people to come together and share their hearts. We want the adults to be nice and to make your voices count. We are asking you to help our families get along. We know that peace starts with a thought. You need to let that thought come out. We're retelling you that this is important because peace can change your life, our lives, someone else's, and even the world. There is a wonderful world waiting for us. We just need to believe in peace and in ourselves. That's the beginning. We can help each other. Peace can go on forever. Peace can be so great. Third grade class, Dewey Elementary School, Evanston, Illinois. Well, dear friends, until the next Wolf Mountain Radio, Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, this is your host and producer, Onesse Pritzker, thanking you for listening and wishing you well. Please listen now to Giving Thanks, spoken by Chief Jake Swamp. Aho, can I want to talk with Sin to all of our relations?
Respect to our home, the earth. We say thank you to the earth for everything that she gives to us, nourishing us every day. We give thanks to all the water in the world, everything within that water. We give thanks to all the grass that lives on the land. We give thanks to all the berries, the fruits, the medicines. We give thanks to the animals that keep the forest clean. We give thanks to all the trees for the different uses that they give to us. For shelters, the fires that we make in the wintertime, keeping us warm. We give thanks to the birds who sing their beautiful songs. We give thanks to the four winds. We give thanks to the grandfathers, the ones that bring the rain. And we give thanks to our oldest brother, the sun, who shines his light every day. We give thanks to our oldest grandmother, the moon, for she is the one that has been charged with the duty to make sure that life has a continuance. She is the one that watches over all the movements of the water, and also the water within us. We give thanks to the stars, her helper. And we give a special thanksgiving to the four sacred beings that watch over the human family. Sometimes we notice them when we are traveling in dangerous places. They are the ones that come to our minds and say, go around, don't go any further. So that's what we're there for, to protect us, steer us away from danger. And so that's what we do. We start right from the earth and we climb a ladder right to the special place beyond the heavens, where there's a special spirit that lives there. The spirit that made it possible for us to be here and everything that we have mentioned. And so with the collectedness of our minds and hearts, we send a special thanksgiving and greeting to the great spirit of us all.
You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yatkidishi Native Center. Yatkidishi's Wolf Mountain Radio is an independent indigenous media service. Our award-winning program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and defend the traditional cultural lifeways of Native peoples around the world. Wolf Mountain Radio presents the situations facing Native lands and tribal communities with news, interviews, commentaries, music, and investigative reports. Estás escuchando el programa de radio Wolf Mountain, honrando a la Tierra Madre y voces indígenas, una producción del Centro Nativo Yatkidishi. La radio Wolf Mountain de Yatkidishi es un servicio de medios independientes indígena. Nuestro programa, honrando a la Tierra Madre y voces indígenas, sirve para proteger la Tierra Madre Sagrada y defender las culturas tradicionales de gente nativa en todo el mundo. La radio Wolf Mountain presenta las situaciones enfrentadas por tierras nativas y comunidades indígenas con noticias, entrevistas, comentarios, música y reportes investigativos.
Hashkwe, hello and greetings everyone again. I'd like to encourage all of our worldwide listeners to the Yatkidishi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio to feel free to visit Yatkidishi Native Center's website. Our website is www.yatkidishi.org. Once again, Yatkidishi Native Center's website is www.yatkidishi.org. We also welcome your comments and questions. Feel free to email us at yatkidishi@earthlink.net. That's yatkidishi@earthlink.net. Our surface mailing address is Yatkidishi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120 USA. Once again, people can write us by surface mail at Yatkidishi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120 USA. If you visit our website, you'll see a page entitled Programs, which lists a number of programs and projects. They include the Galuska Watchanabe Speakers Bureau, the Mishkwinatucky Native Forums for symposiums, powwows, cultural events, and concerts, our Usitagamu Environment Program, which is protecting Mother Earth, a primary concern of our work here at Yatkidishi Native Center. We work to defend Mother Earth by fighting energy, environment, and natural resource issues around the globe. We are active in the environmental justice movement. Another program is our Wakachobi Earth Charter Project, an environmental and earth ethics educational project. This Wakachobi program promotes the Earth Charter's values and principles for a sustainable future. Wakachobi, the great blue heron marsh bird, represents the native ethic of peace. Environmental and earth ethics education, communication, and action is the focus of our Wakachobi Earth Charter Project. Yat Kiddushi's Ganinli Goa program is a peace, social justice, and native rights program. We focus on peace education and conflict mediation training. We monitor social justice and human rights issues, and we support indigenous sovereignty and self-determination. Many of our programs are heard right here on our own produced Wolf Mountain Radio. Yat Kiddushi Native Center is well known for our quality and custom order traditional Native arts through our Kinewantakwasin Native Arts Gallery. This is quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts and crafts. Pottery, flutes, jewelry, beadwork, leather pouches, dream catchers are handmade by various Native artists, part of our cooperative Kinewantakwasin Native Arts. So that's a very brief highlight of Yat Kiddushi Native Center. Once again, we encourage all of our worldwide Wolf Mountain Radio listeners to visit Yat Kiddushi Native Center's websites for further detail and information. Our website is www.yatkiddushi.org. Our web page has a wonderful links page that provides a number of other fine organizations that we network with and highly recommend. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, kinawantakwasin to all of our relations.